This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
According to the latest study and report of America's moral state, Americans now almost absolutely reject moral truth. America is now a place where a majority of adults accept lying, abortion, consensual intercourse between unmarried adults, gay marriage, and the rejection of absolute moral truth as morally acceptable. It's where less than half of all adults embrace the Bible as their primary guide to morality. A minority believes that every moral choice either honors or dishonors God. That's a minority believing that. The question is, are millennials and Generation Zers destroying America? Well, did it all begin with millennials and Generation Zers? Absolutely not. But that's where it's ending up. It's where a large majority of adults accept the notion that as long as you do no harm, you may do whatever you wish. That's all according to research from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, which has released its American Worldview Inventory for 2024. And it bluntly warns, what millennials began, Generation Z is accelerating regarding the generational transformation of the nation's moral landscape. The Center Director, George Barta, who has joined us over the years here on this program, found that biblical worldview incident in the U.S. has declined for five consecutive generations, and during that time, the number of adults holding a biblical worldview has plummeted to 4%, and it's continuing. He said, our studies of teenagers and preteens indicate that the national incidence will drop another 2 points within the next 15 years unless some dramatic and unusual effective spiritual renewal event occurs. And so I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And today, we take some would call it a deep dive into the realm of America's moral and spiritual decline, and yes, even among professing Christians. That's especially where we're concerned, among professing Christians. And so, today, we take this deep dive, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, hopefully talk that transforms. But one wonders, after 30 years or 29 years on the air, 30 years since we formed Save America Ministries, actually 31 years, one wonders whether all of the efforts are making any difference. Well, the problem is not with the efforts. The problem is with the people. The people, we the people, have decided that we don't much like what God has to say. That's the bottom line of it all. Have decided that we don't much like what God has to say. The Ten Commandments have become, at very best, the Ten Suggestions. And so we're experiencing the rapid decline of a nation that once legitimately claimed itself to be a nation under God. Now we're a nation under the governance of our feelings, and they're ever vacillating and ever deteriorating. It's exactly as the Apostle Paul told us in Romans chapter 1, that the time would come when people who knew God refused to glorify him as God, and therefore their foolish minds and hearts would become darkened, and they would give themselves over to a reprobate mind, actually completely turning all God's ordained moral creation into the protection, preservation, and promotion of that which is perverse. And that's where we are. Who would have ever believed it? When I was a young man or young boy, age 10 to, say, 13, I would never have believed this. You could never have convinced me of anything like this, that this would become my country. I used to sing, "This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge thee my allegiance, America the bold, for this is my country to have and to hold." But I wonder if this is my country anymore. Are you feeling like more and more a stranger in your own land? Well, in fact, that's exactly what the Bible said was going to happen and was a reality for all true followers of Jesus Christ, that they would become a virtual stranger in their land. They were sojourners. Sojourners. Abraham was a sojourner. And we're all sojourners because ultimately this land is not our home. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I should not do the best that we can under God to obey His word, His will, and His ways, and to communicate the importance and necessity of that if we would live a happy and holy life. But that's not happening. The pressures are so great now that if you resist this motion for perversion in the country, you then subject yourself to persecution. Persecution for righteousness' sake. And so, again, no matter where it comes from, it's all persecution. Persecution for righteousness' sake. So where do you stand, by the way? Where do you stand? Where does your family stand? Where does your congregation stand? Where do you stand with regard to God's creation ordinance? That's really the issue. Where do we stand with regard to God's creation ordinance? Well, we're going to find out exactly where we stand as a country and as a society, and yes, even as a church. 6 out of 10 baby boomers and busters consider having an abortion to be acceptable behavior now. For the younger set, millennials and Generation Z, it's 70%. In other words, abortion is fine for 70% of the population. Then consensual sex between unmarried adults gets approval from 69% of millennials and 73% of Generation Zers. In other words, there's no such thing as fornication and no such thing as adultery. And even refusing to pay a loan that is due is now approved. Overall, about one quarter of adults from generations encompassing people 55 and older say they accept the refusal to repay a loan to wealthy relatives who does not push for repayment to be morally acceptable. Nearly twice as many younger adults accept such refusal to repay what is due to be morally defensible. Wow! Who would have ever thunk it? I'll share a little incident that happened as I was wrapping up my law practice, proving this point. I never could understand it until now. We'll be right back, friends. Stay tuned. Viewpoint really does determine destiny, doesn't it?
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Overall, about one quarter of adults from generations encompassing people 55 and older say they accept the refusal to repay a loan to a wealthy relative who does not push for repayment to be morally acceptable. And twice as many younger adults accept the refusal to repay what is due to be morally defensible. Now, it was about 31 years ago, as I was completing my law practice in Southern California, I had been asked to represent a woman professing to be a Christian and her mother who professed to be a Christian concerning the matter of a child, alleged child molestation, and in a family law case that was very troubling. And so I began that representation, and the woman, the mother and her mother just contended over and over again that there had been molestation by a father. And so I took them at face value, took them at their word, and began a vigorous representation. That vigorous representation lasted for about 2 years, in which I made numerous court appearances across Southern California. And by the time we were through, the woman owed me approximately $40,000 in fees. After I disconnected from that case, having moved to the East Coast, ultimately the court became so angry and upset with my client, realizing that my client was not sincere, that they were trumping up these charges against the father and took the children away from the mother and put them under the care of the father. I could not understand why the woman, the mother, refused to pay. In fact, there wasn't even any contact. Even when we sent bills, there was no effort to try to pay, no effort to try to make payments, no effort to recognize the situation whatsoever. Then I heard from someone else who had talked with them this statement. Well, my attorney just forgave all of this obligation. Nothing could have been further from the truth. We had never discussed it. They just presumed, like these statistics show, that refusing to pay that which is due is okay if you think that the other party has more than you do. I now understand it. That's the new morality. Even among Christians, many Christians. About 66% of Generation Z now say it's morally fine to do anything you desire as long as it does no harm, or as long as you think it does no harm. The key to the results is that only 21% of Generation Z identify the Bible now as their primary source of moral guidance. That's lower even than the 29% for millennials. Like the millennials before them, Generation Z reflects similar levels of support for gay marriage, the rejection of absolute moral truth, and the dismissal of the notion that every moral choice either honors or dishonors God. Do you believe that that's true? That every choice that we make either honors or dishonors God? The result of the whole study is that millennials and Generation Z have largely dismissed Christianity as irrelevant. Irrelevant. How about you? How about your family? How about your children? How about your grandchildren? We're dealing with that ourselves. My wife and I are dealing with this very issue ourselves with grandchildren. It's as if, it's not all of our grandchildren, by the way, but it's a significant number that have led us into a position of great grief. Now, here's the problem. If we feel, if our children, our grandchildren, and even us ourselves feel that somehow we can do whatever we want to do, whatever we feel like doing, notwithstanding what God has said, there is no law. There is no morality. And ultimately, everything deteriorates so that every man and woman does what is right in their own eyes. And the lordship of their feelings become lord, and self has become king. So there's no place for God, is there? Now, we saw this happen as we were launching into the month of June. We used to sing the song, June is busting out all over, the feeling is getting so intense, and so on. Well, indeed, June is busting out all over, but it's busting out all over in some very unpleasant ways. We know about the Boy Scouts. The month of Pride has launched the Boy Scouts into oblivion, spiritual oblivion. Bible-believing Christians understand the dark spiritual forces behind the collapse of the 114-year-old Boy Scouts of America, orchestrating by Satan himself, the woke strategy, and now the tottering organization that hangs by a thread, rebranding itself as Scouting America. No longer Boy Scouts. It's not politically correct, even morally correct, in the new definition of morality in America, to refer to boys as boys, men as men, women as women, mothers as mothers. No, they're all rebranded with new language, and we're going to find out how the Biden administration has been a leading force in the rebranding. In 1972, when America's population was about 200 million, there were 5 million Boy Scouts. In 2024, with our population at 336 million, there should be at least 8 million Boy Scouts. But the Boy Scouts of America has plummeted to 1 million, and 176,000 of the 1 million are girls. So as so-called gay pride kicked off in the month of June, LGBTQ activists formally told all of us, just give us a day. Then it was, we want a week. Then a mandate a month, along with presidential proclamations and promotions and parades and programs, celebrating homosexuality nationwide and targeting children and youth. LGBTQ activists now celebrate the totality of gay-affirming or homosexual-affirming Scouting America and its new image. And everything about it presented is as if violating God's commands on moral purity, marriage, and family can be disregarded with impunity and without consequences. You may think you're disregarding with impunity, but without consequences, no, there will be consequences. I remember about 40 years ago, as I was a practicing attorney there in Southern California, I was involved in mountaineering, climbing, peak climbing, and so on. And there is a peak, a 9,000-foot peak in the San Gabriel Mountains called Mount Baden-Powell. Mount Baden-Powell. Why do I bring that up in this context? Because General Baden-Powell was the founder of the Boy Scouts. He was a righteous man and wanted to do everything he could to encourage, to strengthen young boys and men, or men, boys, to become men in our country so that our country and its moral and spiritual strength could be preserved for all time. But for over a century, the largest youth organization in America, traditionally enabled fathers and sons to develop manly character, traits of honor, moral purity, integrity, service, patriotism, faith in God, and respect for family, it all went away. At the turn of the century, that is the year 2000, LGBTQ activists put pressure on the BSA, Boy Scouts of America, to compromise its moral code. Here's the trajectory. In 2013, contrary to its code upholding moral purity, officials yield to receive homosexual youth in the Boy Scouts of America. 2 years later, 2015, homosexual adults were allowed into the BSA with approval for positions of scouting leadership. in 2017, 2 years later than that. Transgenders were allowed into the VSA. In 2017, girls were allowed in the Boy Scouts of America. In 2019, we saw the exposure of over 84,000 sexual abuse victims and claims that dwarfed the infamous Catholic Church priest scandal coming from the Boy Scouts of America. In 2020, litigation brought bankruptcy to the Boy Scouts of America. And this last March, the organization faced $2.4 billion in settlements. No consequences? Oh, my friends, and the consequences are by no means over, and they're not just financial. Once the executives woke to the progressive vision of being gay-affirming or homosexual-affirming and inclusive, God lifted his blessings on that organization. The floodgates opened. Severe repercussions flooded in as the Boy Scouts of America officially endorsed a lifestyle the scripture calls moral impurity, degrading, shameless, indecent, and unnatural, right there in Romans chapter 1. It's not bigotry, it's the Bible. An author by the name of Joel Battaglia offered this analysis. He said, as America has drifted away from our biblical roots and pursued gods that fit our lifestyles and cravings, we've replaced the golden rule with the golden calf. Increasingly, as moral consequences and little concern for others escalated, moral chaos ensued, and our society has crumbled under the weight of the sin engendered by the all-consuming worship of the golden calf. But the Bible warns us of catastrophic consequences like this that come to those rejecting unchanging truth in the Bible. Rome and Greece are good examples. They decline when they fail to heed God's warnings and wisdom. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, as we know, and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Although they knew God, they don't glorify him as God or give thanks to him and become futile in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts become darkened. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. And so God gives them up to dishonorable passions, a reprobate mind. Men leave the natural function of the women, burning in their lust toward one another. Men with doing that which is shameful and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their sin. The same is true with women. Study the catastrophic rates of STDs, serial sexual predators, and suicides among homosexuals. Isn't something amiss in America as multitudes celebrate this so-called pride deception? The Boy Scout oath recited for a century stated, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, and to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. No longer does that Scout oath apply. It has been abandoned. But the reason it's been abandoned is that we as a people, as a nation, have progressively abandoned the fear of the Lord in the land. The reason these things have happened is not just because of pressure coming from LGBTQ activists and so on. It's because we have willingly abandoned the very fear of the Lord that the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When you abandon the fear of the Lord, everything begins to collapse. Would you like to know what the future of America is? If we don't return to the God who made and preserved us a nation and repent in ways that heretofore have been almost impossible, we're through.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It may seem depressing. It may seem very painful to hear the truth of where we are. But it is the truth. And just think how this trajectory of abandoning the fear of the Lord and abandoning his word, will, and ways in our society, even in God's own house and perhaps in your house, imagine the pain that he experienced from a people who claim to follow him. The real issue that we're facing here is not with America as a whole. It's with professing Christians within that America as a whole. That's where the problem is. Because if we're not living according to the standard of the word, will, and ways of the Lord, how in the world could we expect anybody else to? One of the things that bothered me about the Barna report that we opened the program with is that it puts the focus on millennials and Generation Z. Now, if he had said in the report that as we look at the millennial generation, about age 40 on down, and then the Generation Z, the largest generation in American history, as we look at that, we do see a trajectory, a very pronounced downward moral trajectory. The problem with the report is it didn't point where that began. It didn't begin with the millennials. It didn't begin with Generation Z. It began with the baby boomers. That's where it began. In 1968, with the No-Fault Divorce Act, inaugurated by Ronald Reagan, that's where it began. God says, I hate divorce, and we said, yes, but. Then, shortly thereafter, in the 1970s, as divorce became more and more normative in the culture, it also became normative in the church. How did that happen? Because we, the people, professing Christians, agreed with the culture and disagreed with God. Now, I want to be very clear here. Someone wrote to me a week ago and said, I'm divorced, and I'm not remarried, but I get the feeling like you communicate on your program that divorce is the unpardonable sin. I have never said such a thing and never believed it. Divorce itself is not the unpardonable sin, but you better repent, because it is a sin. Now, you say, but I didn't want to be divorced. I understand that. Believe me, I understand that. How many couples, professing Christian couples, coming from 80% of my practice in California was in the broader Christian community. They came to me precisely because I had the reputation of being a true Christian lawyer. But what I discovered is most of them were not interested in obeying God. They just wanted a Christian lawyer to make them feel better amid their rejection of God's word, will, and ways concerning their marriages, concerning a lot of other things, not just marriage. And so, if someone divorced their spouse, the one who was divorced, that is, who didn't take the initiative, who did not want to be divorced, who rejected the idea of being divorced, that person becomes, shall we say, to some extent, innocent. They didn't want the divorce. It doesn't mean they were innocent, because they may have done a lot of things, had bad attitudes, and so on, didn't love their wife or didn't submit to their husband as unto the Lord. But as human beings, we realize that there is weakness in every human being, all have sinned. So let's suppose that you're one who did not want and seriously did everything you possibly could to heal a marriage situation that was in trouble. But the other party, your spouse, took the initiative to effectuate a divorce. Now what? You can accept the fact, you can ask God to go through your heart and see if there be any wicked way in you that precipitated the divorce, even though you didn't want it, and then you can repent of that. You go clean before God, and if you will confess your sin, he's freed, willing to forgive your sin and forgive you for all unrighteousness, right there in 1 John 1. But what happens if you decide, okay, now I'm free to remarry? When Jesus said, whoever divorces their spouse commits adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. Now what do you do? That's where the problem lies, friends. That's where we define deviancy down. That's where we inaugurate remarriage as a blessing that Jesus prohibited and said would cost us eternal life if we didn't repent. Because remarriage, when your spouse is still living, is adultery, Jesus said. The Apostle Paul said exactly the same thing. And Paul said, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals are going to inherit the kingdom of God. What is it about this we don't understand? But our pastors and parachurch leaders and psychologized counselors decided to override what God had said and allow us to elevate our feelings over our faith. And that's where it all began. That's where this entire trajectory of unrighteousness and sexual perversion began. Before that happened, in 1968 through the 1970s, before that happened, we had no problem with open and notorious LGBTQ stuff. None of that. We opened the door to that. Pastors opened the door to it. Parachurch leaders opened the door to it with their books that tried to make people feel good about their divorces and about remarriage. Well, obviously, God wants you happy, and so therefore, you see, it was the lordship of feelings, even though the scripture clearly said. Are you beginning to get the point? No, this broadcaster does not believe and has never said that divorce is the unpardonable sin. When you reject the Holy Spirit, though, who says that to get remarried when your spouse is still living, and you decide to do that anyway, you have now rejected the Holy Spirit of truth that is there to guide you into all truth, and you decide to do your own thing. Now what? Is that the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is to reject the Holy Spirit, friends. So what do you do? You have to accept what the Holy Spirit said, even though you went against it. And now you have to admit, confess, that when you remarried and your spouse was still living, you committed adultery, that without God's forgiveness and your confession owning up to it, you're consigned to eternal destiny that you don't like, that you're not going to want to be part of. So, again, the problem isn't that the remarriage is the unpardonable sin. What's unpardonable is your rejection of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that can be dealt with is to receive the Holy Spirit and to act according to His word, His will, and His ways. Confession may be good for the soul, but once we confess, we then have to turn. It's called repentance, and completely turn the other way. Now, on our website, saveus.org, is a 7-page outline of what the Bible really says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I know of nothing more complete on the subject than that. It's very orderly, very easy to read. It's not pandering to any particular scripture. It's taking the entire Word of God at face value, presenting it, and then allowing the reader to decide, am I going to obey God or men? Am I going to follow the mandate of the culture or of Christ? The problem that we have is that our feelings become the essence of our faith, and therefore self becomes king instead of Christ being king. Christ becomes little more than a mascot, and self and our feelings become the master. Now, is there anything in your life that resembles those remarks? To help us to understand this more fully, and in fact, what I'm going to recommend to you really is not about, directly is not about marriage, divorce, remarriage. It's not about those particular applications. It's about the fear of the Lord, which is at the very foundation of all of this. Did you know that there are no promises in the Bible, including salvation itself, that come without the foundation of the fear of the Lord? Therefore, I'm going to recommend to you that you get a copy of my book, Secret, The Secret of the Lord. The Secret of the Lord. It's a $20 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. The Secret of the Lord. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, it's a delight to be with you, even to talk about things that are troubling. Yes, the Word of God is designed to trouble us. It is. It's designed to trouble us. Without that, we would not come to salvation. We would not. If you don't agree that you're a sinner and that there are consequences to walking in sin, why would you ever commit your life to Christ? It begins with the fear of the Lord and the fear of the consequences of not fearing the Lord and doing His will. Just like a child originally fears the parent before the child eventually begins to love the parent, if the attitude of the child is properly dealt with. This is not out of the ordinary. It is God's ordinary business. God says that He chastises those that He loves. God corrects, He chastises those that He loves. He's even chastised Israel for 2,000 years. He said, for a short time, 2 days, 2,000 years, I'm going to discipline Israel, and then I'm going to start bringing them back. So, we have watched Israel for 2,000 years, certainly since Rome took over, destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and now we're nearing 2,000 years. God is doing exactly what He said. But He disciplines. He disciplined Israel, sending them to Babylon for 70 years. He disciplined the 10 northern tribes, Ephraim, northern Israel, by causing the Assyrians to come in and destroy and take them captive and disperse them throughout the nations. That was God. A loving God, a Father who did that. For some reason, we've lost the sense of an awesome God. We sing a song that says, our God is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven above, but we just don't really consider the meaning of He reigns from heaven above. That would mean He was king. He's God, He's king. But how can He possibly be king over subjects that refuse to submit to His authority? Right? And if subjects refuse to submit to His authority, claiming to be Christians, then what's He going to do? What is an honest, just, yet loving God going to do? He's going to bring correction. He's going to do through His Holy Spirit, He's going to bring the Word to bear upon our minds and our hearts that is going to trouble us, to bring us to a point of humbling ourselves in confession of sin before Him and seek His forgiveness. He says, if you'll do that, if you're sincere, He searches our minds and our hearts. He said, if you're sincere and will confess your sin, as a loving Father, I'll forgive your sin and heal you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but you've got to do what you got to do. But we don't want to do what we don't want to do. It's kind of like in earlier days with my older grandchildren, which spent a great deal of time in our home because their mother is my right hand, helped me to the ministry. And so we were given an extended kind of parental authority in disciplining and correcting and raising and so on the kids. And so when I would ask them to do something, they would say, well, but I don't want to. And my response was always then change your want to's. That's what God is saying to us. We're saying, I don't want to. But He says, then change your want to's. Now, every one of those four older grandchildren know exactly what that is. In fact, that phrase guides their lives to this day. Change your want to's. Not only with regard to their own parents and grandparents, but with regard to God Himself. Change your want to's. But I don't want to change my want to's. Okay, then you'll take the consequences. If you don't want to repent, you're going to go to hell. God's not going to send you to hell. You're sending yourself there. You are refusing to submit to His word, His will, and His ways. God's not making you do that. In fact, he's doing everything he can by his Holy Spirit and by his word, even right now in this program. Right now, he's doing that. But how are you responding? I don't know you, so I don't know how you, but he knows how. He knows the thoughts that are going through your mind and heart, justifying, trying to justify what you did or didn't do. Yeah. Look, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. The only reason Jesus was sent was so that we could be redeemed and have salvation from the curse of the sin that was upon us. I don't sit here pontificating in a sense of complete perfection and righteousness. No. I have a sincere desire to obey God. Have always had that sincere desire. Have I done it perfectly at all times? No. Have I gone before the Lord when the Holy Spirit brought conviction and said, yeah, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer? Absolutely. This is what I did or didn't do. I didn't respond to your Holy Spirit. I didn't do. Please forgive. And I have complete satisfaction that when that has happened, whatever it was, not divorce or remarriage or anything like that, but there are many ways that we can sin, through acts or omissions. And I have complete confidence that God forgives. But you cannot have confidence that God forgives if you refuse to own up to your violation of God's word, will, and ways. Especially now when it comes to the issue of sexual sin, which the Bible seems to say is more, shall we say, it's not greater sin in and of itself, but it's greater in the effect, in the sense that it prevails like leaven that leavens the whole lump and is extremely dangerous to bring down any family, to bring down any church, to bring down any nation, to bring down the whole world. So now God is concluding our nation as Sodom and Gomorrah. What did he do with Sodom and Gomorrah? What's he going to do with the world that is in this state as Sodom and Gomorrah? God sees it for what it is. Now, what is he going to do? What would you expect him to do? So we have all kinds of ways now, echoing consequences. I'm going to share some of these with you, and this is just a cursory review of the echoing consequences of this attitude that began back in 1968, with the inauguration of no-fault divorce, which precipitated not only in the nation as a whole, but in God's own house, a repudiation of his word, his will, and his ways. And we're seeing the echoing consequences with unbelievable consequences throughout our society. Now, one of those is the issue of males in female support, in female sports. We see that. That's an echoing consequence of what happened in 1968. Now Democrat Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey, pandering to what he thinks is his base there in Pennsylvania, says that concerns over males competing in female sports are unfounded assumptions. Really? Unfounded assumptions? Where is his mind? I wouldn't elect a man like that just based upon what he said. His mind is completely disconnected from reality. How could he possibly make legitimate decisions in the United States Senate? But how about Joe Biden's administration? It's had a field day with redefining English words to push promiscuity. Sex, for example, no longer means whether one is male or female. It's whether gender ideology has been brainwashed into a person. Even Mr. Biden himself has gone over the edge, calling those to protest his election on January 6th as erectionists. Now, his Department of Labor is insisting on calling women menstruators. A commentary points out that Biden's bureaucrats apparently cannot use women or woman to describe those who actually menstruate. The problem that everyone should have is using the term menstruators in place of women. Women are the only human beings who can menstruate. Everyone knows this. Why pretend or suggest otherwise? It's blasphemy. How is it blasphemy? Because it goes completely against the creation ordinance of God in Genesis chapter 2. The National Institutes of Health published a chapter calling for the degendering menstruation, making trans menstruators matter. This is ridiculous, friends. First was the attempt to normalize the words birthing persons in place of mothers to include women who want to transition to men. Now the fanaticism has evolved into abiding or adding the words menstruators to this unhinged lexicon. The weaponization of radical gender ideology is one of the country's most significant political threats, but the root of it is not political. It's spiritual. We may call these political issues, but they're only political issues because we have repudiated the word, the will, and the ways of God. They are spiritual issues. Now, a federal court demands health insurance to pay for all transgender surgeries. Really? A federal court demands health insurance companies pay for all transgender surgeries? In other words, you're paying the bill to the health insurance company and you're helping to support the whole system of perversion. You think this hasn't echoed down to almost the bottom line now? All across the world, we have nations, governments that are expanding abortion. The number one thing that Barack Obama did, he pledged that he was going to expand abortion into Africa and homosexuality. He did his best to do that. He used America's money, your tax dollars, in order to do that which God says was murder and was perversion. Governments all over the world now are expanding abortion. What's the consequence of that? The countries are disintegrating by their own actions with a population in free fall that cannot support itself. Do you know that the very threat to the Social Security system in this country is the number one result of abortion? Abortion in America, since 1973, 65 million kids would have kept the Social Security system alive based upon accepted statistics. But when we ridded ourselves intentionally through sexual perversion and so on, disagreeing with God, we ended up now with the Social Security system being at risk. There are consequences, my friends, to everything. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What men sow, they will reap. General Baden-Powell must be overlooking and is turning over in his grave to see what happened to the Boy Scouts of America. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Do it today. Don't delay. Help us to continually get the message out until Jesus comes. Get a copy of the book, The Secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them who fear him, and to them, and them only will he show his covenant. Psalm 25:14. $15 will put that book, a life-changing book, in your hands. The Secret of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.